This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
8 o'clock hour, and a circus is starting to develop behind us here from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. We got Pepe and Aiden running things back home live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And we are brought to you by Rhino Shield, ceramic coating, never paint your house again, and by Best Buy Windows and Siding. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. Bob, what's happening behind us?
We have players up there speaking. Whoa. Or they're about to speak. So they're going to start running different draft prospects up to the podium. So you're starting to see it kind of fill out with media members in there. And it'll get, I mean, you saw the area back there. Right now it's maybe like two people deep. Looks like a mosh pit of just two people, you know, two rows of people deep. That'll be pretty filled up later in the day. And the bigger the prospects that start rolling through there, the more media that you'll see coming through.
The great Todd Archer, Cowboys insider, will sit down with us at 8:20 this morning. Choppy, we got some developing situations. Gene Hackman passing away at the age of 95, along with his 63-year-old wife and dog. What are police doing about that? And a story we were talking about last night as well.
So they have opened an investigation into the deaths. It's not, you know, look, if it was just Gene passing away at 95.
Yeah.
They didn't even do an autopsy on my dad, right? I don't even think they did cremate it. When you're 95 years old.
They assume natural causes. They won't commit resources to an autopsy at that age a lot of times.
But when you're 95 years old and you die with your 63-year-old wife and you die with your dog all at the same time.
Yeah.
And a welfare check was called in by the neighbor. That's what it was. They called it. They found. It took about 10 years to identify who they were. I guess that's according to reports.
10 years.
Ten hours. Sorry, 10. Did I say 10 years?
Yeah, I think so.
It was 10 hours. So they got called in at 1:45 p.m. To an address in Hyde Park, and the bodies were identified at 12:30 in the morning. So almost 12 hours.
Yeah, that's a. And how did they get there? How
it was a welfare check.
At that hour?
At 1:45 p.m. Yeah, it was a welfare check.
And they didn't get there for 12 hours. They're like, yeah, we'll check on their welfare by 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah, they were called at 1:45. Who knows what time they got there? So they identified them.
That sounds weird.
Because the neighbor called out the authorities to perform this welfare check. Then they're not suspecting foul play, but they are investigating what happened.
Not natural causes, okay? We all know that.
Right.
You know, two people gone and the dog. Something happened.
Yeah, something happened. And the dog thing, to me, the dog thing screams out, like, I thought carbon monoxide poisoning. Houses, whatever, you get that. And that would explain the dog as well. Unless they went full on Jonesboro, Arkansas or whatever. And even did the dog, but that made sense to me. The other issue that we talked about, and this is from the new Attorney General, Pam Bondi. She says that the Department of Justice will likely release the Epstein files today.
Oh,
and she says, quote, it's pretty sick.
Wow.
Now, they've redacted the victims.
Okay, good.
All right, so they've redacted some of the information on the victims. But the flight logs from the notorious private jet, they're going to release the documents related to Jeffrey Epstein. So we'll there. She says there's 200 victims, over 250 actually, and they are going to not release, obviously, the information on the victims, but they're going to protect that information, and we'll see what happens with the rest of the documents released.
All right. Thank you for that. Back to sports. The Luka Doncic smear campaign continues. In the 6 o'clock hour, we told you about The Athletic forecasting from the Dallas Mavericks front office that Luka Doncic would turn into a catastrophe in 5 years because of the conditioning and work ethic. Five-year catastrophe. Sam Amick writes that front office executives, coaches, and scouts, they say all this does not matter. It doesn't compute. This is the NBA, where ego management has always been part of the equation, and choir boys are hard to come by. Talent is not the end-all be-all, but Luka's type, the transcendent kind, is so rare that it should be given every opportunity to be maximized, like Iverson, Magic, Shaq, Walton, and Bird, all elites who had their warts. Phil Jackson had his philosophy that players don't truly mature until their late 20s, and to put it bluntly, the vast majority of people I've spoken to within the league about this deal continue to believe that Dallas made a, quote, grave mistake. That's The Athletic. Ramona Shelbourne, Los Angeles insider, friend of the station with the shows, she says Luka did not look up or acknowledge Nico once the other night. Not during warmups, not during the game, when Nico sat right behind the Mavs bench, and he didn't do it with Jason Kidd either. Those close to him say he has alternated between shock, sadness, and anger. Every day that he goes into his L.A. hotel that he's still living in right now with his fiance and young daughter is a reminder of how much his life has been upended. And my mind immediately went to that picture of walking into a hotel after you have just purchased your second home in DFW and you're living out of a hotel, and that would have to freaking piss you off all over
again.
You
got a newborn in a hotel. I mean, come on now. Like, that's that. Granted, he's not staying at a tier three hotel. Okay, he's staying at a nice spot. He's probably in a suite.
Yeah.
All right. I don't think he's in a.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have a double bed, with one bathroom.
Right.
He is in a multi bed. Right. He's fine, but it still sucks. I mean, it does for him. And you know, Phil Jackson's right. You don't mature.
Well, this is what Jerry always references Landry, right? Saying not to the third year, something like that.
Yeah,
story he always tells.
Yeah,
offensive lineman.
I think he says it with defensive linemen too, that you can't really tell until after their third year what they are. And so, yeah, that's the kind of thing that he referenced there. But I mean, you got to think he's 25, okay? And then not just that, he's 25 and he just became a dad. Like, he became a dad. His life is, like, completely changed. Who he is right now, I don't think you're going to say there's even a chance is the same person that he is in 5 years, because there's just so much life experience that's going to come with it. We've seen so many instances of people growing and changing and evolving past the age of 25. What, your car insurance doesn't go down until you're 26? Because they're like, you're still, like, a dummy until you're 26.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the whole, you know, they don't like that the hookah.
Hookah Doncic.
Hookah, alcohol. Does Nico think that nobody in the NBA smokes weed?
I know, right?
What are we doing here? Like, nobody in the NBA enjoys a beverage?
The ganja?
The Dallas Mavericks have fallen victim to the straight-edge mentality.
Yeah.
Right? Ramona Shelbourne continues, Kyrie has stayed in touch with Luka since the trade, checking on his emotional state more than anything. He feels protective of him. The Lakers can offer him a four-year, $229 million extension this summer, okay? Four for $229, or like other teams, they can offer him five for $296 next summer. Five for $296 or four for $229. Mark Cuban sat courtside in a pair of Luka ones the other night, And each time Luka touched the ball, Cuban made a show of booing him. At one point, Luka turned to Mark, smiled, and said, "Shut up, Mark." And when McMahon asked Cuban what is it like to root against Luka, Cuban said, quote, "I hated it."
Yeah, they showed the shot. Somebody had the shot in the crowd. He's walking up to Bill Duffy, Luka's agent, and he's saying hey to Luka's family, and like Cuban, clearly this would have never happened if Cuban was still in charge.
Man, I'll tell you this, it would have been an all-time hero moment in DFW if Mark, instead of that, responding and saying I hated it when he was asked what was it like to root against Luka, if he said I wasn't.
Right.
That's
Dirk
an
wasn't.
All-time hero moment. He blew it.
Average purchase price before and after the deal. Lakers home games before the trade, $253. After the trade, $303. A 19% increase. Mavs home games before the trade, $187. Afterwards, $112. A 40% decrease. Courtesy
makes sense.
Tick pick. You did all the math on that, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously only going to affect the secondary market. It doesn't hurt the Mavericks' right. bottom line. But, I mean, that drop, if it's $75 per ticket on average, you're talking about 20,000 seats that they generally fill up, or at least they list them as being filled up, the Dallas Mavericks do. I mean, that's $1.5 million, like, just in a game. Woo! Losing that much money.
I mean, look, I mean, you did it. You did it to yourself. They did it to themselves, and they have nobody to blame but themselves. And, I still don't understand it. I said it earlier. You know, Nico, if he doesn't believe that Luka can change, then explain him getting Kyrie Irving. Explain him trading for yeah. Kyrie and believing that he could change.
Yeah.
You know, and he did. He had the faith in him, and he was right. He was right on that.
Let's bring in Cowboys insider Todd Archer, working the phone already here from the NFL Combine, 105 through the Fan. Let's do a mic check because DJ's not here.
I've got him on.
Hi, guys. Yeah, how are good. You?
What's up, man? Were you out last night?
Nope.
No?
Out. How okay, I was out till midnight, but that's not out here.
That's not out.
What yeah. is out here?
3 a.m. is out here.
3 a.m.?
Yeah.
My gosh. Did you end up at the prime place?
Yeah, that was on Monday.
Okay. How do you decide? How do you know where everyone is just gravitating to?
So the Cowboys have this luxury bus. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No.
And you see where that's parked, and you know where they're going to be.
Oh.
But they're almost always at that restaurant anyway, or
okay.
that turns into a bar.
So last night, you told us we had to do the St. Elmo shrimp cocktail thing. We did it. I was very happy with the restaurant. I was impressed. They put us downstairs.
Put us in the basement.
In the basement. It was a little cold next to the Peyton Manning room. But then we went over to that Prime 47, which everyone just talks about, the other steakhouse, and where we have reservations tonight. Yeah, that was even too much for me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in here. I can't stand six deep waiting for a drink. I don't know.
What time are you guys there?
See, that's the thing. We walked in at 9:30, so it was only six deep, and they still had tables out. So
yeah,
he hasn't even seen it like packed like super tight yeah. yet in there.
Why are all these older individuals partying till, I mean, 3 in the morning?
Oh, okay. So now I'm older.
Right. I'm the oldest. I couldn't even stand being in there at 9 o'clock.
I think he means, like, the Stevens of the world.
Well,
not like, that they're in there. You are the
I'm
oldest.
I'm older than you.
No, because I mean, it is one of those things where, I mean, a lot of times they're not getting out until 9 o'clock, 10
right.
o'clock.
Yeah, they have their interviews until whatever time. And then, you know, some guys will come over after that and, you know, there's one, you know where the Cowboys table is. You know Bob Lamont and AJ and his table is right, that circle table right in the front. David Kanter, you guys will have on. He has a table on a couple of nights there. Yeah. So
do you love this, or is it a test of physical endurance?
That's a good one. It's not a test of physical endurance. It might be a test of mental endurance. But, yeah, like I'm not here to – cover the combine, right? I'm covering the Cowboys at the combine. So I'm not really, like, talking to the prospects on all that. No, I just talked to R.J. Mickens for another story I'm doing. But, like, I'm not.
Good name.
Did you interview with the Cowboys? Everybody interviews with everybody. It's like we get all carried away on all that stuff. And it's like at some point everybody talks to everybody. Is it a formal where you get your 18 minutes in front of the team? Is it an informal where it's just catch as catch can? you know, everybody will talk to everybody. So I don't really get caught up in that stuff.
Todd Archer sitting down with us here on the home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. He's going to take you inside the Cowboys Combine interview, who is on his prospects list, and anything else you want to ask the great Todd Archer from ESPN on the Fan Text, live from Indy, as we continue with Todd right here on 105.3 The Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Sean, RJ, and Bobby live at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, sitting down with Cowboys insider Todd Archer from ESPN here on 105.3 The Fan. Brian Schottenheimer is going to talk today. What are your early impressions, Todd, of Shoddy and some of the new staff? Bobby. Uh-oh. There we go.
Good job.
Come on, Bobby.
Good job, Bobby.
Come on, Bob.
One job.
I know.
One job.
I know.
What was the question? I consider and say, oh, yeah, I mean, I broke down an Arizona offensive line, and I can tell you all this, da-da-da-da-da. I'll trust people that I know across the league to say he did a good job putting his staff together. Adam seems like a good, solid hire for how they want to play, at least how they say they want to play. That's a better way to say it, how they want to run the ball, right? Junior Adams from Oregon was a guy that – people in college football have a lot of respect for him, what he was able to do. You look at the Oregon receivers, you look at their offense. One thing I like is that he did look at the college game. The game's trickling up. It doesn't trickle down anymore. So I think we can all agree that the offense was kind of stale and stayed around here, and you're not in there was no innovation and in being ahead of the game. And so, and I'm not sure he's going to be, but he's hired guys that could get them, give them ideas that they wouldn't necessarily have. And then on defense, like the White Cotton guy, he's a guy who's coached really good players with the Jets, and he's a guy that has a lot of juice and a lot of energy. He's a guy I'm going to try and get to know a little bit more as the process goes on.
How do you feel about Eberflus's return?
Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, you look at, okay, he was never the coordinator in Dallas, but really, and Bobby, if I'm wrong in this, tell me I'm wrong. I think he was doing a lot of calling the defenses, maybe even on just third downs, maybe at the end when Rod was still a coordinator. So while he wasn't the coordinator here, he had that experience. Obviously came to this city as the Colts, and their defense before he got here was awful. And it immediately became top 10. And then you look at the takeaways, right? That's something we always harp on. They were up there in takeaways. Now, and even Chicago, when they weren't very good, was it last year or in 23, they led the league in interceptions,
yeah.
They had 22 interceptions. So their style of defense works, right? It's hustle to the ball, it's run, it's all that kind of stuff. It's not necessarily predicated on having all the talent. Let's remember, do you guys remember who the Cowboys' nose tackle was when they were number one in the league in defense under Marinelli?
What year would that have been?
Like 14, 15, 16, somewhere around there.
Wasn't Jay Rat anymore.
It was not Jay Rat.
I can't even remember.
Nick Hayden.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what did Marinelli call him?
I'm not using that word. You can say it because you know the name.
Yeah. I was testing you.
Yeah. But so it's an effort-based defense, right, that you don't need to have the most skilled dudes to just, you know, be solid and all that. So I think Eberflus was a good hire. I know if Kellen Moore got the job, he was Kellen's defensive coordinator as well.
Wow. Todd Archer here on 105.3 The Fan. So what is on your Cowboy Combine checklist in terms of players? Trying to follow the breadcrumbs of the visits or who they're talking to?
Yeah, it's more, for me, it's more about free agency and what's coming up. So you want to see who's going on the bus that ostensibly they're talking about the Cowboys players that they have on the team, but that's not it. They're talking about the other guys that – so you have – illegal tampering going on,
yeah,
before the legal tampering.
Sure.
And that's where you kind of want to find out what they're doing here.
Is the bus that – all right, what's it like on the bus? Bobby told me – I'm so disappointed in you guys. I know you guys are trying to be professionals, but he said – can I say this?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think it's a problem. I'll say it so I can be in trouble if it's my problem.
Yeah, Jerry, this is Bobby.
No, a couple of years ago, just it's on the bus, and it's just – when Jerry was like – hey, did you guys want a beer or whatever when we're up here? And it was just like, we don't want to hold this up. He's going to talk for another hour if we do that, and everybody's going to be mad outside. So let's make sure they can get to their dinner.
There was one former employee. So Jerry always, you guys want a beer or something like that every time when we all say no. There was one guy who used to work at your station that actually accepted it and took one. That he's no longer with your station.
Yeah.
So
I heard.
Was everyone mad?
No, but.
If I took a beer, if this was today and I cracked one open, how long do you think Jerry would stay hanging out on there with everyone with the libations?
Oh, he'd be on there, yeah.
It would delay the
Cowboys dinner, not our dinner.
Yeah.
But it would delay the Cowboys dinner.
What an opportunity.
It's a great opportunity. You got to say yes when you're on the bus.
But I was like, there were times like we would talk to him for 90 minutes. And that's probably like six questions. So it's not as long as we actually think it is, because he just goes on and talks, as you guys well know.
Yeah.
But now last year, it kind of got condensed into about 30, 35 minutes, which is fine, too. That's enough to get all your stuff. But, yeah, it's funny to the people like around the league, you're going on the bus, like it's – you're going into Never Never Land or something,
yeah,
like that, you know.
Now, Cowboy fans are going to say, Todd, why are you spending time covering Cowboy free agency? There's no such thing.
They're going to be selectively aggressive.
Conservatively liberal. That's what they're going to be.
Yeah.
More aggressive than last year?
Can't be less aggressive than last year. Yeah, I think you'll see them. Honestly, I think what it means is they're reverting to what they used to do. And that was fill holes in free agency. It wasn't go sign the top-end guy. They're not doing that. So everybody who thinks, pick a guy. Top of the market.
T. Dude. Higgins.
Yeah, they're not paying $230 million receivers, right? So get that out of your mind. Now, if there's a number, if is there a Brandon Cooks type trade for a receiver, and I'm not saying Cooper Kupp or Debo, but why not explore that and what you can get? That's a move I think would be selectively aggressive.
Is the Micah contract going to drag out like Dak and Lamb?
I asked Steven that question. I'm trying to remember his answer as I'm giving you this answer. And he said, you know, basically he said the CD one took a while because the receiver contracts that had to come due in Jefferson, and that took a while.
Never give the Cowboys the benefit of the doubt on that, right? We just think that, you know, they're on the yacht and they're chilling and they're like, let's do it today. But they keep trying to tell us. I think Jerry.
It was still two and a half months after Jefferson, though.
Right. It took too long to get to where they eventually got to. Like, he could have been in
camp.
The leaves fell enough. Gets to $34 million. But,
we have to be missing. My point is, Todd. We have to be missing something delay.
Here's what we're missing. The players know if they wait, they get everything they want. Everybody says the Cowboys, they wait too long. You don't think Dak waited? Dak had a deal. Before Dak went to Todd France, there was a deal that Dak was about to sign the day after the 2019 season opener that the Cowboys thought was done. Jerry talked to us after that game, and he's like, we'll have something here soon on that. Like, and Jerry never says that. And then, obviously, it played out the way it played out. So every time Dak knows and players know, the first guy to really do it, I think, was kind of DeMarcus Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
When he got the deal, he's just ending up now. Well, he was first on the tag. And then if you just wait, you're going to get everything you want. And if you're the Cowboys, are you just going to say, here's $90 million a year on the first one? No. You have to kind of see what's going to – Now, it takes too long, and I'd be awful at this stuff because I would be like, you're at 10, and I'm at 20. 15 sure sounds good.
Right.
Like, there's my negotiation.
Yeah. If the Cowboys could go back and do it again, do you think they still give the extension to Diggs?
Yeah, because because that was a team-friendly deal.
Do you think Diggs sees the end of it here? The end of that contract?
Tell me how much he plays this year, and I can have a better answer on that question. But what is it? This is year three of it?
With Bland entering the final year of his deal.
But you can – there's enough money there for them. No.
Enough pie?
Is there?
Yeah, there is.
And Micah
– Osa.
Micah, Todd, back to that real quick. Micah's contract. I'm just previewing what I'm about to ask you to give you a mental heads up with what's coming here in a second.
Oh,
but
cool.
Micah and his contract, how do you see that playing out?
I mean, he's eventually going to be the highest paid guy in football, but I'll get back to what Steven's answer was.
And you're ruling out any trade?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that. Steven's answer was we don't have to get our arms around anything on the Micah contract the way that they were with the receivers. Because who else is going to Myles Garrett's going to get traded maybe and then get a deal. But I think it can be done sooner than the Lamb deal. Will it? I'm not going to say that because as much as Micah wants to say they're in a situation where I'll take less and we know how that game's going to play. His agent's not going to say you're taking less. So there'll be some back and forth. They'll probably take longer, but maybe not as long as CD.
Mike Fisher is reporting right now that the Cowboys are very close to a done deal with Osa Odighizuwa. Should come in above $21 million per year. What do you guys think of that report?
I don't know if that number is accurate from what I've been told where it would be, but I know they want to sign him. I know they've had talks. I know they've had productive talks before they even got here. You look at Eberflus's defense, they need a under tackle for that thing to succeed. I think he's a guy you had to keep, and you probably had to pay more than you wanted to pay.
So you thought they were going to, you weren't just thinking he was gone and out of here?
No.
Okay.
No, because they... Who do they have if he leaves?
If they didn't sign him, were they looking at the prospect of if we don't sign him, we have to take an under tackle at 12?
Absolutely.
Is this about freedom and flexibility in the draft as much as anything? Then
It's yeah, that's all part of it, and you're keeping a good player.
Sure,
so.
And they like, but being willing to spend more than you're comfortable with, is that about we have too many holes to potentially sacrifice that capital on that when we've already got somebody here?
Right, and show me the guarantee that the dude you're drafting at 12 is going to be good enough.
Yeah.
So that's why I think, again, when their free agency approach, it turns into signing a quality guy at a good number that you don't have to take that position immediately. So
if he gets this deal done and Osa is back, what becomes the top priority in April then at 12, do you think, position-wise?
You can still take D-line, right? I mean, I don't think you'll have David on. I don't think D-Law will be back. You guys ready to go with Sam Williams as the other end?
Nope.
Like, coming off an ACL?
Yeah.
I mean, so an offensive line, I think, as boring as it could be, those are the two spots I think would still be number one, because I don't think you're going to – they ain't signing Trey Smith as a guard, right?
Speaking of number one, is there a rumor that the Cowboys have
– Well, Florio, just tell
Florio
what Florio
said. Told us that the Cowboys might be – have asked – talk to the Titans about moving up to number one.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
There's no freaking way.
The last time they made a move up big in the draft was 2012.
It worked out great.
So they got Mo Claiborne at 6. I don't remember where they were picking that year.
12 or something. Like 12,
so if you go from 12 to 1,
you're looking at
what are you giving up?
So history shows you're giving up a player and at least two firsts and two seconds.
And we just talked about how many holes this team has.
Right.
It's a lot.
Let's just have
one to give up.
So, okay, you're moving up. I guess you'd take Carter.
That's where I'm going. With a stress fracture.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So, Carolina, Chicago went from 9-1. They gave up DJ Moore, two firsts, two seconds. The Rams in 2016 went from 15-1. They gave up three ones. Right? They gave up three, 2016, 2017, so two ones.
They were effing them picks way back then.
Two ones, a bunch of twos, and a bunch of threes.
It's a lot to give up. But it is funny. We had mentioned this earlier about talking about that discussion of the idea of them calling about just checking on something. When Rappaport reported a couple weeks ago, the Cowboys have – you know, even discussed if Micah Parsons might – what he could fetch them in a trade or things like that. Is that something where, again, that is literally just the due diligence of...
Isn't that doing their job?
Right, where they have to ask the question. Would you expect them to ask that question of anybody they were potentially re-signing? Like, well, okay, what would a trade get us? We got to factor all that in.
Absolutely. The Micah thing, you should have had those discussions. They should have had those discussions when they were talking about that Dak's contract, right? And like, hey, if we don't get this guy, what are we going to do? Or even the first Dak contract. I wrote a story. I'm like, they should have gone after Matthew Stafford because it would have been cheaper than what they paid Dak at 40 a year at that time. Or actually, I think I even mentioned Stafford or Brady because those guys weren't going to. So you have to, if you're doing your job the right way, you're running through every scenario. There are enough smart people in that building that we know that I'll trust that are doing that. Even if that's not Jerry and Steven all the time. But those guys are telling Jerry and Steven things.
Todd Archer here on 105.3 The Fan, Cowboys Insider. Will you be out at midnight this evening?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Tonight it will be. I want you to be like, I want you to show us the way here at the restaurant, the steakhouse.
Well, if you're all going to Prime, what time's your...
7:30.
So, yeah, you need to eat your dinner at
Prime.
We're
trying to be embedded in there.
You got to eat your dinner at Prime, go somewhere else, and then go back.
Then go back?
Yeah.
Not stay there the whole time. It's not going to be packed at 9:15.
Well, yes, it's going to be. Well, you said you wanted experiences.
Oh, gosh.
Experiences, your shoulders cramped and you can't get a drink. Oh, and you're just like,
lovely.
You're breathing halitosis into like Mike McDaniel's face. Like, that's the experience.
You got your little assistants on you, Bobby?
Oh, yes, I do.
All right.
My prescribed medication? Yes, I do.
All right. May need it tomorrow. Thank you. Todd Archer, thank you so much, man.
Yep.
Keep killing
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
The great ESPN insider here on DFW Sports Station. Let's see if we can confirm this OSA report. And the agent for Jordan Lewis, Tank Lawrence, and Rico Dattle sits down with us. You won't want to miss that either. We continue right here on 105.3 The Fan. No below the belt intro because things are very fluid here at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. We have a Mike Fisher report that Osa Odighizuwa is about to get paid around $21 million a year. Bobby Belt frantically working the phone. So we had some agents scheduled. We may not. Things back and forth. They are moving. So we're going to move along with them. But Choppy, I felt like, you know, the other day or this week, we all kind of agreed that Osa was going bye-bye.
Yeah, we did think he was going bye-bye. $21 million is a lot. That's a lot of money. And I know that things change with the percentage of the cap that it's, you know, Bobby talked about this, that the percentage of the cap at $21 million is about the same as what Tyrone Crawford got when he got nine.
Way back in the day.
Yeah, you know, but well, oh, shoot,
11
man,
years
close
ago.
To a decade. Yeah, a decade ago. It just doesn't compute mentally. You know, $21 million for Osa. Like, it's, you could find Osa in the draft. He's a good player. You can find a good player in the draft. It's just the philosophy. You cannot have holes in your defense.
Are you buying this report, Bobby? Because Todd Archer seemed to think, I got the feeling from Todd, who just sat down with us, that he thought Osa was going to be back.
So, again, behind the curtain a little bit here, we were going to talk to Osa's agent today.
Yep.
8 o'clock. Sean and I were in the car yesterday in the Uber heading to the airport, and without specifics, it was clear, like, he didn't, he was a little uncertain about coming up because it sounded more like there was an opportunity for him to come back here than was initially thought. It sounded like he just, while things were active, he, you know, just wanted to, like, let's focus on this and let's not potentially jeopardize that or negotiate anything publicly. And so that's what kind of put the brakes on that. But that is something where,
and he kind of disappeared in the last 12 hours.
The agent. In and out of meetings, talking to them a lot. But, I mean, it's something where Steven, it feels like the Cowboys will routinely say, love to have him back. They say that about players that they aren't going to bring back because they're stating they're probably going to be, yeah,
would
love
probably
him.
Would love to have a lot of these guys back.
But at a certain cost that they know isn't realistic either. So I think that's how a lot of people took it initially when they heard it from Steven. When we were, you know, talking yesterday and trying to figure some things out, it felt like, oh no, this must be more within the realm of possibility than it had initially felt like. Is that it felt like there was something that they were going to be closer. Like Todd said, over 21, that would definitely be surprising. I don't know that that was going to be his market, but if that's what it comes in at.
What are we speculating? The SPO track?
So the tag is that. The tag is like roughly, is roughly that. Right. And you didn't, they weren't going to tag him because they didn't want to commit to that number. So you'd be, it seems surprising to think that they would come close to a number that they didn't want to tag him at.
Right.
I don't know. Like, again.
Where would that put him? I saw you looking up the D-tackle rankings as well.
Here we go. I can find that.
There's a lot of guys in that 20 range. We went through it the other day.
So average per year, this is interior defensive line. All right. Interior defensive line, 21. I mean, that's putting him down the list. Not just outside the top 10, actually. But again, interior defensive line, you got Chris Jones at 32 a year on average. Christian Wilkins, Matabuki, Aleem McNeil, Derek Brown.
Matabuki.
What did I say?
Matabuki. It's running to Coletta Azabuki.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm
like college basketball world, baby.
Doing Kentucky
that's
basketball.
Right. Jeffrey Simmons, DeForest Buckner, Deron Payne, Dexter Lawrence. Those are all Leonard Williams. They would all be higher than 21 flat a year. Kenny Clark. So he'd be in with Hargrave and Christian Barmore.
Does he belong in that, or is this a necessity thing as well? You know, it feels a little Dak-like. Like, hey, we can't go without.
I think he's a really good player. I remember through this process of meeting people at the draft, you get to know a lot of different players who end up at different teams. So you end up having relationships with players that don't even play here. And I remember there was a guy that I had become familiar with, and we would talk a lot. And they were getting ready to play Dallas, and he was like, why have I never heard of this? 2 years ago, I think. He's like, why have I never heard of this 97 guy on y'all's defensive line? He's like, who is he? And I told him, he's like, Osa, UCLA, couple. And he's like, this dude's a badass. He's like, holy cow. He's like, I don't know how we're going to block him up. He's like, he's so disruptive. He runs so hot. His motor's so intense. And so, I mean, players around the league really respect him in the way that he wrecks things. Does he finish things with a bunch of sacks all the time? No, but he is very disruptive. And last year he played about as strong and solid as he could. If there's another level for him to tap into, and if Matt Eberflus feels like, I can turn him into Jason Hatcher and get him 11 sacks, I can do this, then it might be worth it. Especially if you then say, in a bit of a thinner draft, we don't have to draft a defensive tackle necessarily at 12 now.
Man, I'm just looking at this at the top contracts for interior defensive line. The Cowboys are nowhere to be found. Like, they just do not pay the position. Like, the highest, I mean, Mozzie's the highest paid currently on the roster. They just don't pay it.
The highest paid?
From the interior defensive line. Like, that's not, and that is, I mean, you are talking about nowhere near the top.
Yeah, how beside himself do you think Nick Harris is right now? Just walking by. Hey, Nick!
Nick! Come here for a second.
Let's see if Nick is going to be just sick to his stomach like he seemingly was.
Well, I don't think he would appreciate being painted in that light. I'm throwing the headset for a second.
I'm exaggerating.
Because Nick Harris was in studio with us the other day while Choppy was cleaning out the colon. We are reacting to...
You went to the game last night.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Butler game. You know, saw the Johnnies. It was good. Good time. Saw Rick Pitino.
Are you believing this Osa Odighizuwa report?
Which one?
That he's about to get 21 a year?
Yeah, that's what I expect him to get, but it's the question if the Cowboys are willing to pay that. That's going to be the
Mike Fisher saying that it's
Mike
about
Fisher's
to
happen. Saying it's about to happen. We're closing in, Nick.
No comment.
Have you checked on it?
They have met with his representation, same with DeMarcus Lawrence this week, and we'll know more today.
Okay.
Okay. I was going to try to get you to dig deeper. But
you don't think he's going to be a Cowboy?
I don't see how they make that work, given what they have talked about being selectively aggressive in free agency, and that just gives them a lot less room to be able to do that. If they want to fix the depth problems that they had from a year ago, paying $21 million to a guy for the next 4 years, that certainly doesn't help creating that depth, in my opinion.
Where did you go last night?
Hinkle Fieldhouse, Butler St. John's.
I told him it's a top five.
It's incredible.
College basketball venue.
Top five?
Easily.
Oh, top three, probably.
You got
it's
Duke.
Incredible.
You got obviously Palestra, you got Duke, you got Allen, you got Butler.
It's been there since like the late 1800s. I mean, Oscar Robertson played a state championship there when he was coming up.
Wow.
There's so much history in that building.
Screw up arena.
And who was playing?
St. John's and Butler. It was
okay.
A good game. Yeah, came down to the wire. St. John's pulled it out.
Packed?
Top 10.
Yeah, it was a really good crowd, too. For a team that was under 500, it was a really damn good crowd. I was sitting there talking. I was like, there's no reason why North Texas or SMU shouldn't have a crowd like this. Because, I mean, two schools that have been good at basketball over the course of the past decade. And this Butler team is under 500, and the crowd was standing damn near the whole game.
Your basketball state, man. That's your end. Crazy.
DFW they love sports it fans don't bring it like that.
It's tough. I hate it. I wish we had more basketball schools in Texas other than Texas Tech. I feel like Texas Tech is the only one that can really claim it right now.
SMU had, I mean, A&M.
Yeah.
A&M's good. They've got a good losing streak right now.
Yeah, when they're good, but when they're bad, no one shows up.
Yeah. Houston, obviously, Texas has got a really good. They have three teams that are going to be top four seeds.
Yeah.
So what's your schedule for today?
Today, tracking down more formal meetings from the combine. Got 12 yesterday, trying to track down the 45. And then Brian Schottenheimer at 3:30.
And you put it out there. There's a lot of D linemen so far on their list.
A lot of defensive front guys, D linemen, linebackers. There was 12 of those guys that we were able to track down yesterday. Probably missed a couple here and there. It's tough to get to everybody. But, yeah, they're investing some combine resources on that defensive front.
Did you go out last night after the game?
I did not. I got back at about 12:30, and I was like, you know what? I've been up since 6. I'm going to call it.
That's when Todd Archer starts.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when he fires it up.
Yeah.
Sitting here shaming us younger dudes. Are you going to go out tonight?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
All right.
I saw the cocktail sauce with you guys. I'm proud of you guys. Really proud of you guys.
Bobby took it like a champ. Can you eat spicy food?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was good, though.
Yeah.
Like, it has a good taste to it as well.
It'll just explode your brain.
Yeah, if you like the taste of feet, it's delicious.
It does not taste like
so
feet.
So good.
Hey, be
it's
careful.
A delicacy.
Sore subject.
Yeah. All right, Nick. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Keep killing it. Nick Harris, just popping him on all the different shows from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, reacting to the Osa Odighi Zua report. Does not sound like he is totally buying it right now.
No, and I mean, we'll see. We'll wait around and see what comes from. But I mean, we've got texts out and messages out, and we'll see who comes back around.
All right, an absolutely electrifying guest to start off the 9 o'clock hour. The agent for Tank Lawrence, Jordan Lewis, and Rico Dowdle. He'll have a lot to say. David Cantor joins us on Sean and RJ. Next.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.